Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So, when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your sister or brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your sister or brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going together to court, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that every man who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whichever man divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that any man who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whichever man marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great sovereign. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be, 'Yes, yes,' or 'No, no.' Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. So, today's lesson is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, or it's part of it, a part of chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of St. Matthew. These particular sections are known as the 6 antitheses. We get 4 of them today. These antitheses, if we look at them for a while, call us to trust in the spirit and in the practice of Jesus' program, or we could say Jesus' ministry. That is to bring God's promise and intention of life, value, dignity to all. All are included, with particular and dramatic emphasis placed upon the lost and excluded, the poor and the oppressed. An emphasis which we witness as we continue to read through the gospel story of Jesus' ministry throughout, after this sermon. All of these antitheses have the goal of transforming communities into a more life-giving and accepting place, places of healthy relationships, as opposed to conflict and abuse. In Matthew's gospel, he calls this new community the realm, the dominion of heaven. It is opposed to the oppression of the Empire of Rome, and the various smaller oppressions, particularly with respect to the religious communities that maintain their power and status by oppressing others, by impoverishing others. Jesus understood clearly that there is a process here an escalation that goes around leading up to physical violence, almost always starting with violent language. So once violence has erupted, it's very difficult to stop the cycle. There's feuding, there's getting even, there's payback. And we see in our own day that there is this dynamic of violent language which troubles us at our very heart. It seems to be the organizing principle of much politics. And it tends to organize folks on the basis of their worst fears and prejudices. And its goal is not only to dehumanize, but to draw us all into reaction, into violence. In ancient times and today, this cycle threatens to destroy community and people. Jesus is opposing that with his understanding of how we speak to one another, how we address one another, and how the violence of language escalates into the violence of ideology and finally into the violence against individuals, which he calls murder. Again, in ancient times and today, this cycle threatens to destroy community. So Jesus' sermon calls for reconciliation to be practiced. The second antithesis in Jesus, I think, is lining up with the Me Too movement. Here he is calling for men to be responsible for their actions and attitudes toward women. It was interesting that our adult education today spoke about the equal rights of not only African Americans, but women, and how that whole movement was tied up together. Jesus' teaching on divorce actually continues this emphasis on giving women more rights in their relationship. But here's an interesting thing about the scripture, and we see it in the Gospel of Matthew particularly, is an example of scripture being unable to break out of the patriarchal system. The agency of women in this sermon here is yet to be fully articulated. Or perhaps Matthew and his own community are not quite willing to follow Jesus all the way. Even in Scripture, it's not always the case that the writers follow Jesus completely. The arc, the trajectory, the future of Jesus' own ministry, the community that he envisions and embodies, calls for a more critical challenge to social systems and personal relationships that subject women to abuse and powerlessness. It strikes me that the fourth antithesis is just as timely and pertinent as the anticipation of the Me Too movement. Jesus says, "Do not speak falsely." We live in a world of lies where truth and lies are conflated or not even understood. And he says, flat out, do not use your religion, do not use God's name to invoke and justify lies and fabrication. I don't think it takes much reflection to see that we are overcome by such issues around truth and falsehood in our world today. The essence of community, as I was speaking with my confirmation class, I asked them if they believe what I was telling them. And they said, yes. Good. But I believe what they're telling me as well. Can we have community and conversation and dialogue? Can we have relationship if we assume we're all lying, or if we are all? The essence of community, the fundament of any relationship, is the assumption that truth is spoken. We trust that God has spoken the truth to us in Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh. So in faith, we are called to speak truth to God and to one another in order for the community of God to be real and life-giving. In faith, we are called to speak words of life to systems of death and to those who fabricate such systems in order to maintain power and superiority. In faith, we are also called to acknowledge our own failures in ways that we have not been life-giving. Jesus was willing to speak the truth to the powerful who who justified themselves and the system in which they flourished, particularly religious authorities. But the most eloquent and striking and godly expression was Christ's welcome to the lost, the poor, the sick, the lonely. God's welcome of them all into relationship of life with the living God. This healing speech, this feeding speech, this welcoming speech, this truth was a direct affront to those who maintain their status, their life, by dehumanizing others. It is true today. Speaking the truth, as I have tried to do often from this pulpit recently, I think can feel perhaps or be seen as political speech. But we know as we follow the Christ in what he did, he had no intention of taking political power, or he had no intention of organizing his disciples and those who followed him to overthrow governments. His was a different kind of community that he was projecting and forming and creating through his relationship of welcome, of forgiveness, of love, of care. But he did, however, insist upon the humanity and community of all who are created and loved by God. His truth, in short, was to eat dinner with sinners. His truth was to invite us all to the holy meal of life, to gather around in the community of faith, and for us all to take up the truth of his invitation. Jesus was so faithful to this invitation, which is God's own word of life, that he bore the death, the failure of us all to offer life and forgiveness. He was so faithful to God and to God's transformative, creative word of life that in and by his death, he refused vengeance and retribution. He refused violence against others, even after he bore the violence of the world, but instead offered forgiveness and the promise of life once more and always. He was so faithful to God's word of life, God's relationship of love with him, that death did not hold him. We trust that in the resurrection life of Christ, we will be held this day and always, transformed by our relationship of trust and love with the living God through our faith in Christ Jesus. We now and always are called to be living words of truth, to welcome the little ones, to challenge the violence of lies with the nonviolent truth of welcome and care for those who are in need. Amen.